From the land to Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 29th day of April, 2025. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Naomi Bloom. She's at TotalFarmMarketing.com out of West Bend, Wisconsin. We'll get updates from the statisticians on crop conditions and progress in the states of Illinois, Indiana, and Iowa. Dan O'Brien from K-State University will be here with a look at the agricultural energies and profitability, particularly in the ethanol plants. And finally, we'll finish up with a look at the weather forecast. Don Day will be here from Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming, on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
May corn down 15 today at 460 and a half on its settlement. July 13 lower at 470 and a quarter. December at 444 and a half down 5 3/4. May beans 11 lower and November 1025 and a quarter down 9 1/2 cents. Wheat futures in the soft red. July down 5 1/2 cents at 525 and a half. Naomi Bloom now joins us from TotalFarmMarketing.com out of West Bend, Wisconsin. Hi, Naomi. Thanks for being with us. I didn't look at the marketplace, really, until just before we started to talk and was taken aback that corn futures had lost 14 or 15 cents for the day. What has happened?
Well, there's a kind of a combination of things that happened today. So part one, we didn't have any immediate bullish news to take the market higher. We got crop progress report yesterday saying that the corn planting is 24% planted. That was up 12% from the previous week, and the five-year average is about 22%. So planting pace, plugging away. And then this morning, we did get some nice export news announcement. We found out that there was 120,000 tons of corn sold to Spain for this old crop marketing year. So that kind of supported the market initially at 8:30. However, as the day went on, we just kind of fell out of favor and just didn't have enough news to take the market going higher. So we saw a little bit of technical selling. Also, tomorrow, first notice day for the May grain futures. So we see some position squaring happening with that, with the May contract down hard today because people who were long May corn or May soybeans had to sell and get out of it. And then we got two other just outside market pieces of news that said like American confidence in the economy slumped for the fifth straight month. And then there was some more news that China was going to just stay firm against President Trump regarding trade deals. So I think just because we didn't get any friendly news, the technical selling started to take over, pushing markets a little bit lower. But a lot of times, once we get first notice day out of the way, prices then start working back higher during the month of May.
I did hear a Chinese representative say that the United States would have to remove tariffs first before China would make a move. So it'll be interesting to see how that continues to play out, a war of words and wills both. It was interesting to note that there was a difference between old and new crop for corn, with new crop holding much better. It still had losses for the day, but only half to a third of what happened in the old crop. Why would that be the case?
Well, we also saw just specific spread trading happening today for traders between old and new crop. The spread had strengthened recently, and so we saw some profit taking happen with that. Same falling through in the soybean complex as well, but corn primarily, spread trading was definitely noted.
Anything in the other marketplaces that you were watching very closely, whether that be the products for the soybeans or the wheat, something else?
Well, I was keeping an eye today and doing some looking at soybean scenarios for the upcoming crop year. So we're all, you know, in this holding pattern trying to understand where demand will be for soybean exports next year. Right now we have our soybean exports at 1.825 billion bushels. About half of that goes to China. Now, I don't think that China is going to just totally stop buying from us, but if we did see a reduction, let's say you use an export number next year for demand at 1.7 billion bushels. So that would be acknowledging that we could see some demand loss to China. There still leaves no room for any kind of a weather error this summer. I mean, you know, last year we had our yield at 50.7. If we have yield this year at 50, even with a reduction in the demand for exports, but if you keep the crush number the same at 2.4 billion bushels with that lower planted acres, you're looking at carryout going to 291 million bushels. So it's going to be interesting to see how the soybeans respond. It feels like once we get to know a little bit more about the final destination of our export market, then we can really start to look at weather scenarios a little bit more closely for soybeans, because again, there is no room for weather error this summer at all. And I do think that we probably will lose some demand to China, but China year-round needs beans coming in to their country, and they do like the U.S. product. So I'm hopeful that we see some negotiations happen there sooner than later. And we'll keep an eye, of course, on the weather going forward.
You have in the past, and I made note on X, this week we're discussing the seasonals and the sales opportunities that they can afford producers. When you get a down day to like today, does that change things at all? Or do the seasonals, I know, change and stay in place, but does it adjust the way you think about what the pricing situation might look like?
It can. Part of that would depend on how much a market might sell off to the downside. Right now, though, we are still in the trading ranges that essentially we have been in since, maybe like October, November. We're still holding on to uptrends for old crop corn. New crop corn still also holding on to that uptrend. So the seasonals would suggest for corn and beans both that sometimes between Mother's Day and Father's Day, so the middle of May to the middle of June, is when you can see your best pricing opportunities for your new crop market. Usually some sort of a weather scare can spur things higher. So from that standpoint, you know, I'm still a believer in the seasonals. When you look back at 17 years on corn, about 5 years, corn has put in its high in May, 7 years it put in its high in June, 5 years it put in its high in July. So I feel like there's still some opportunity there. But the thing is, it's usually when farmers are busiest, and so you're not always paying attention to the marketplace. So you got to really be tuned into the markets every day and be focused on cash sale target potentials on December corn, maybe looking back up to that 465, 470, barring any kind of a weather scare. And then on the soybeans, it could be an interesting situation there, depending on weather short-term and long-term. Right now, November beans holding that 1025 support. If that can continue, if we can get some friendly news, there's an inverted head and shoulders formation that would actually point to $11 as a potential upside target. But again, we need some fresh friendly news to get that moving. Otherwise, we could be in a holding pattern here for just a little longer.
Thank you much, Naomi.
Thank you.
That's Naomi Bloom. She is with TotalFarmMarketing.com. Yesterday afternoon, the United States Department of Agriculture released the weekly crop progress report. It shows around the nation, 24% of the corn crop had been planted as of Sunday. 22% is the rolling five-year average. 5% of that crop has emerged. 18% of the soybeans have been sown. 12% is the five-year average. 27% of the winter wheat has headed. 22% is the five-year average, and it's said to be in 40% good and 9% excellent condition compared to 38 and 7 the previous week. Now here are the statisticians from Illinois, Indiana, and Iowa with their updates.
This is Rebecca Alter, agricultural statistician for the USDA NASS Iowa Field Office. Periodic rains throughout the week resulted in just 2.3 days suitable for field work, and cool temperatures hampered crop emergence. Topsoil moisture condition rated 3% very short, 11% short, 75% adequate, and 11% surplus. Corn planted reached 34%, 2 days ahead of the five-year average. Statewide, corn emerged was 2%. 25% of the expected soybean crop has been planted, 1 day ahead of last year and 4 days ahead of the five-year average. Pastures and grass continue to green up. Apart from some muddy feedlots, no livestock issues were reported. some cow-calf pairs were being turned out to pasture. And that's this week's report of crop progress and conditions across the state of Iowa. For the USDA NASS Upper Midwest Regional Field Office, this is Rebecca Alter.
Hello, everyone. This is Brad Summa, director of the USDA NASS Heartland Region, and this is the Illinois Crop Progress and Condition Report. Statewide, the average temperatures was 59.6 degrees, which was 3.8 degrees above normal. Precipitation averaged 1.1 inches, which was 0.26 inches above normal. Statewide, the topsoil moisture supply is now rated at 1% very short, 10% short, 66% adequate, and 23% surplus. For the Illinois corn crop, corn has been planted in 16% of the fields now compared to the five-year average of 26, and corn emerged has reached 2% compared to the five-year average of 3%. Soybeans planted reached 22% compared to the five-year average of 20, and the soybeans emerged has reached 4% compared to the five-year average of 2. Winter wheat headed has reached 16% compared to the five-year average of 12, and the winter wheat condition was rated 2% very poor, 4% poor, 37% fair, 49% good, and 8% excellent. For our Illinois cattlemen, the pasture condition were rated 2% very poor, 5% poor, 33% fair, 42% good, and 18% excellent. Again, this is Brad Summa, director of the USDA NASS Heartland Region, serving the farmers and ranchers in Missouri and Illinois. Have a great week, everyone.
I'm Nathaniel Warnsky with USDA NASS. This week, Indiana topsoil moisture rated 90% adequate to surplus for the week ending April 27th. Subsoil moisture, 83% adequate to surplus. Days suitable for field work was 4.8 days. Corn planting was 10% and soybean crop planted was likewise 10%, equal to the five-year average. Winter wheat jointed was at 50%, slightly behind last year and the five-year average. Winter wheat headed was at 4%. The crop rating decreased to 60%. Good to excellent. And that's this week's report of crop progress and conditions across the state of Indiana. I am Nathaniel Warnsky with USDA NASS.
Our thanks go to the state statisticians for their weekly updates of crop progress across the Midwest. Now let's turn our attention to the agricultural energies. Dan O'Brien is here. He's with Kansas State University Extension out of Colby, an agricultural economist that watches the agricultural energies and runs an Iowa model for ethanol plants. I'm wondering, Dan, what the profitability looks like in that plant this week?
Well, whereas the profitability in March in ethanol plants, Midwest ethanol plants, kind of aiming at an Iowa model, was about, we lost about one cent per gallon in March. February, 9 cents, about 12 cents in November. Here now in April, with the corn prices moving up a little bit, up to 463 in April as opposed to about 444, we're estimating break-even costs about $1.66 per gallon of ethanol, and a loss of so if you have a selling price of 161, break-even price 166, losing about 5 cents a gallon. And it so you've got a string of months of, let's see, 1, 2, 3, about 6 months in a row where we're at or below break-even. And frankly, just in looking at the pace of usage of production on ethanol, we've been holding up decently. It's been kind of a level situation really for the last since December of last year. Now, just now of late, kind of almost seemingly contra-seasonal, with driving coming on, et cetera. It seems like ethanol production trending down marginally here of late. I do wonder about when the summer driving season comes in and the openness towards E15 in so many areas, what that will do to the ethanol plant production and profitability. Of course, any production risk that would come in, and we're very prone to that right now. Now we're entering May and June, July, and anything that would drive corn prices sharply higher, of course, would probably work against ethanol production profitability, but we shall see. So I guess in a way, Todd, it's sort of a horse race between what demand for gasoline and during the driving season will do to support ethanol prices versus what production risk out in the field for U.S. corn would do to drive corn prices higher. So we'll see where that works itself out. And of course, ethanol plants operate on the margin, you know, in inputs and outputs, and we'll see where that goes.
There has been a strong push in the Western Corn Belt, particularly for ethanol production, and basis has reflected that. Has that changed?
Over the last 3 or 4 years, just like clockwork, I look at the corn prices and ethanol plants in Kansas, and it was the highest in the U.S. compared to each state. Well, now when you look at that based on the April 29th numbers, actually the highest corn prices at ethanol plants that are being reported paid are actually in Ohio, $4.98 as an average, followed by Indiana at $4.89, Illinois at $4.79. Kansas comes in at about $4.69 or so. For a while I thought, well, gosh, you look at the how dry certain areas were, and we had a lot of dryness and probably fears about corn production, corn availability in those same three, in Indiana, Ohio, and Illinois. But those prices still, but corn prices here now with some moisture that's come in, still seeing the strength of corn demand at those ethanol plants in the east. And I guess I don't have a good explanation for it. If I tracked it far enough back, you probably see a difference in the ethanol prices paid in the east as opposed to out here in the west. But again, I just need to track that down.
And corn supply remains highly available in your part of the world, or are they switching to wheat because prices are low enough for ethanol production, other things that might be taking place?
Well, now you're touching on a sensitive topic there, Todd. No, I'm just kidding. It is interesting. Here, just last week, that the price in Garden City, where we would feed wheat, if we're going to feed it any place, it's around Garden City with all the feedlots there. The price of wheat was 97% of the price of corn. So, yes, there certainly seems to be at least a short-term incentive to feed wheat, and if we don't have a crop problem and wheat harvest comes on, that situation could exacerbate itself with a fair amount of moderate priced wheat around and corn coming in again July, August. If we have any production worries out here to the west, that's certainly a possibility. We have corn prices going higher. We're set up for a situation where we could see a considerable amount of wheat fed. And you know what? Given the struggles we've had in actually exporting hard red winter wheat out of the U.S. because of a number of factors on the world stage, that type of usage would probably be welcome. It helped to move through some piles of wheat that we'll have out there and help to rectify the situation a little bit.
I probably should have asked it as a sorghum question, substituting for corn in ethanol. Is that available? Because China is not buying.
Well, yeah, without strong export demand for grain sorghum, we still can use grain sorghum all over the place as a competitive feed grain, but it's priced to value relative to the other its main competitors. That's corn. So it was interesting when USDA came out and projected, I think, 6.6 million acres of grain sorghum to be planted in the U.S., up from March prospective plantings report. And that was higher than anybody really had expected. The USDA projected 6 million acres earlier at the Outlook conference. So I think the response to that probably was due to the reason we probably had that was because of lower cost of production for grain sorghum, mainly in the seed, for some worries about drought. So we'll see by the time we actually get out in the field to see what how farmers vote with their planters and get the actual acreage report in to see what they've actually done moving forward. And I would agree with what I think where you're heading on that is that, gosh, the slowness of U.S. grain sorghum exports and is a pretty direct impact, being directly impacted by the tariff discussions between the U.S. and China, certainly has an impact probably on the optimism that farmers have about the pricing opportunities there. So when it looks like we'll certainly use all the grain sorghum that we produce in feed, in industrial usages. We have ethanol plants that can use them, some exports, but it's not, there's the positive sheen, the positive glow on the profitability of sorghum sure shines a lot brighter when we've got strong exports to China. And now without that, we're struggling more in terms of moving the product.
Hey, thank you much. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Todd. Take care.
You too. That's Dan O'Brien. He is with K-State, Kansas State University Extension. Let's check the weather forecast now with Don Day. He's at Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming. Hello, Don. Thanks for being with us today.
Thanks for having me.
Tell me about the weather forecast across the Corn Belt for the next week. Will there be much rainfall, and can farmers plant?
Yes and yes. How's that? We generally a trend that's going to be pretty warm. Temperature readings as we go through the beginnings of May here will be aided by a big trough that's going to come into California and the desert southwest and kind of spin on its heels for a little bit. We're going to see this developing this weekend and into early next week. So what that does is that brings a southwest flow of air into the Corn Belt. So what that will mean is warm temperatures. It also means we are going to see some shower and thunderstorm activity at times. We probably at times will have to deal with severe weather next week, especially in the South Central and Southern Plains region. But we have the best chances of rain probably in the Central and Eastern Corn Belt. However, the Northwest Corn Belt, the rain chances are there, but they're lower. But we don't see like a continuous rain event or something setting up. We're going to have these off and on chances of thunderstorms, but overall warmer temperatures. So I would all chalk this up to a very favorable looking pattern.
Yeah, so if we get rainfall, it appears that'll be sooner rather than later in the week and mostly in the Eastern Corn Belt?
Yeah, it looks like first of all, you know, here in the short term, there is going to be some weather in the Eastern Corn Belt here over the next 24 hours or so and into the next day or two. But then what we're going to see as we get to, let's say, Friday in the weekend, the activity is going to be mainly be to our west and to our east. So the weekend and into early next week, the rain chances are lower. So your point is that, yeah, the best chances of rain are in the short term, medium to longer range term. It looks like a warmer, drier trend.
And the warmer temperatures are where across the Corn Belt? In the northern part of the Corn Belt or northwestern part of the Corn Belt?
Well, it looks like just about everywhere. You know, I don't see necessarily a bullseye of the warmth in terms of the anomaly, but it's going to be Corn Belt wide.
Hey, thank you much. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Don Day is with Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming. Joined us on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report that came to you from Illinois Public Medium, online, on demand at willag.org. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.